So let's continue on the second part of our four-part series on how to win in Din. Last week we spoke about the perhaps most famous Eitzah that the Sifrei Musar bring about how to be Menatzeach b'Din, and that's to be Mitzaref yourself to a Tzibur. If a person is able to figure out a way to get into the bloodstream of Klal Yisrael, that means a person who is indispensable to the needs of Klal Yisrael and thereby attains the status of an Ish Tziburiya, public figure, a public servant, then he would be part of the guarantee that Tzibur Leimeis, that Klal Yisrael as a whole never dies, and therefore as an individual you wouldn't die either because you're part of the whole. Today we're going to discuss another Eitzah, another method that's suggested in these days to be Menatzeach B'Din. We know that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that says, Havidan es kol ha'adam l'kav zchus. A person is supposed to judge every man favorably. And so the Sifrei Musar immediately take this Mishnah in Avos and they say, hey, this is another great suggestion in what to do this time of year in order to show the Rabbeinu Shleilam that we really want to be able to be victorious in Din. Because if a person is able to be done other people, l'kav zchus, if we're able to look at other people and judge them favorably, and that's that word judge is used very deliberately, we are all judges. Whatever we see somebody else, we immediately size them up and we're basically judging them. You know, there's sometimes you get criticism, you're being very judgmental. What does that mean, you're being judgmental? It means that you're judging people. You see somebody and right away you paskin what type of person that other person is. And that's just a human thing. We all do that. We all see people and we right away think that we chapped his mahos or her mahos just by seeing them. We're able to say, oh, this person is smart, not smart, cool, not cool, from, not from, and we don't really know anything about the other person. It's just our own superficial first impression, and we judge immediately. And as soon as we do that, we're judges. There's a whole book written on this subject and by Rabbi Henoch Teller, and I love the title of this book. It's an old book. I don't know if it's in print anymore, but it's called Courtrooms of the Mind. I always thought that was such a great title because that's really what we're doing. We have a courtroom in our mind. Our brain is a courtroom, and whoever comes into the courtroom, when they come into our vision, we're immediately judging them. That's just what we do. It's not, that doesn't mean that we're bad people, it just means that we're human people, that we right away figure, you know, what do we think about this person when we see them? Or what do we think about them when we see people that we know already doing certain things? Now all of a sudden we have to size them up once again. Remember, I was once sitting in a car, in my car outside of like the pizza store on Main Street by the movie theater, and it was at night, and so people I guess couldn't see me sitting in the car. I was waiting for my kids to get some pizza, and there were two guys from Yeshiva, very nice guys, and they went right into the movie theater right in front of me, and. You know, so here all of a sudden I had a courtroom in my mind, like what, you know, mitzad echad, you know, it seems very obvious that they're going into the movie theater, and you know, so do I look at them from now on different? Or maybe they need the bathroom, maybe they wanted to get some soda, maybe they wanted to get some you know, whatever they sell in a movie theater, I don't know, but that's, you right away have to judge, and now the next time I see these guys, I really don't even remember who they were, I really don't, but next time I would theoretically see these guys, you know, do I immediately have a new perspective on them? I thought that they were a certain type, and now I see they're a different type, and how does that change my perspective of them? The Mishnah is coming to tell you that you have to be done everybody l'kav schos. The initial reaction to everybody that you see should always be given the benefit of the doubt. Say, even though it sounds like very far-fetched, yeah, they're going into the movie theater to use the bathroom, why don't they go, you know, you could ask a million questions in Pirchas. You know, why can't they get their soda, you know, in the pizza store? Why can't they go to the bathroom in the pizza store? Why would they need to? But you have to be dan l'kav schos. Doesn't mean you have to be naive, but maybe in a way you do have to be a little naive, and that is what the Torah expects from us, to be, when it comes to other people, to judge them favorably. We all know that Mishnah, but what we might not know is that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says that if we activate that Mishnah now, during Elul and during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur time, now all of a sudden it's an amazing ticket, a golden ticket to be Menatzeach B'din, because after all, isn't that what we want the Rabbi Nishlam to do for us? Don't we want the Rabbi Nishlam to judge us favorably? That's the whole point. That's why we're sitting here, right? We want to win in Din. We want to be able to be judged by the Rabbi Nishlam in a favorable light. And we know that everything works midah keneged midah. So the more that we're able to judge other human beings in a favorable light, if we're able to really take this Mishnah very seriously in this day, and we should always take it seriously, but especially now, this is a great trick to be menatzeach b'din. If we show the Rabbi Nishlam that we're judging other people favorably, so plain and simple, midah keneged midah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, in din, judge us favorably. And he will say that, you know, we too have ample excuses, or he'll make excuses up for us for our behavior. So whereas, you know, maybe something could be perceived in one of two different ways, and maybe it really leans towards the guilty way, but maybe because we were done other people, ourselves, in a positive light, even though we could have also looked at it negatively, but we're going to judge them positively, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could also take those, you know, those indecisive actions that he sees. When I say that, I mean an action that's not clear, those ambiguous actions, and judge them in a favorable light. This is what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz and others use as one of the suggested things to do nowadays to be menatzeach. But then if you want to look it up, it's in Sichas Musar, Sicha Chaf Ches in Tavshin Lamed Gimel. Let's talk about this midah of being dan as Kala Adam L'Kav Schos a little bit. If you notice, the Lashon in the Mishnah is not the simple Lashon that you would assume the Mishnah to say. The Mishnah should say, Havidan es kol adam l'kav schus. You should judge every man favorably, whoever it is that you see, adults and children and people from all walks of life, judge everybody favorably. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah says, Havidan es kol ha'adam, with the hey ha'idiyah, the man, as kol ha'adam, the entirety of man, l'kav schos. So it doesn't mean all men, it doesn't mean every human being. It might imply that as well, but what the Mishnah is coming to tell us is something additional here when it uses that one letter A. And that is that when you're judging, if you want a trick to understanding how to judge people in a positive light, like, why should I? I saw it plain and simple. I saw what the guy did. You know, what am I? I should be blind. I should ignore what I saw. I saw the person doing something that was wrong. I saw the person doing an avera right before my eyes. I saw the person acting in a way that was inappropriate. I saw the person in trouble with the law. What do you want? I mean, I saw it. What's to judge? Judge favorably? How could I judge him favorably? I saw it clear as day that person did something very wrong. So what the Mishnah is telling you is, and Eitzah had to get around that initial thinking, and that is that you have to judge people favorably because you have no idea what that person is really all about. You have no idea what that person is going through. You have no idea what that person's background is. You have no idea what the pressures that person has. if you judge everybody, you know, as being everybody's perfect, you know, everybody's expected to have a perfect pedigree, a perfect background, the perfect chinuch, a perfect family life, a perfect financial situation. And so if that person's perfect, now he's fallen short of that perfect, you know, picture that you expected. Now you can start judging him because, you know, he's fallen short. But you have to be done when you're judging somebody else. It's important to take the entirety of man into perspective. And you don't have that perspective because you have no idea of what anyone is going through. Just like I have no idea what you're going through in your personal life because it's very personal. I have no idea what, you know, what really is going on, you know, within your family life, how your parents are, you know, what's going on with your parents, what's going on with your friends, what's going on inside of you, what kind of physical challenges you might have, what kind of emotional challenges, what psychological challenges. I mean, I'd have to spend, you know, 100 years studying everything to really know another person perfectly. You don't know me either. Just like I don't know you, you don't know me. And so how dare we judge one another without knowing the entire gamut of what that person is going through. And if we are judging somebody else, then that's an unfair judgment because you can't possibly ever get to the bottom of a human being. So automatically, yes, I saw this person and this person did something terribly wrong. But do you know what precipitated that? Maybe the person just had a fight with somebody and that's why he acted in a very angry and gruff way. Maybe he's not having an easy time with his wife, Shalom Bayis. Maybe one of his kids did something terrible that morning, or maybe he got into an accident. Maybe maybe financially he's really, who knows what, and that's what caused him to steal. You don't know what's going on, and so you don't have the ability to judge anybody because you're, you know, that's something that's not in your purview, and so how dare we judge other people? Only the Rabbeinu Shem really knows what's going on fully. And that's why, by the way, the Pasuk says, Hatsur Tamim Palai, Ki Kol Derachav Mishpat. When it comes to the Rabbeinu Shem, his judgment is perfect because he's able to see the bird's eye view of everything. So when he judges, he's able to get it perfectly right. A human judge can't. That's the problem with human courts, because they don't know. You know, if a judge is judging me for, let's say, a petty larceny, or for doing something that was wrong, or vandalism or whatever, he doesn't know everything that happened before that and after that. He just judges based on what he sees, and he throws the book at the person or he doesn't, but it's all God. It doesn't really have any reality. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he's judging, he takes everything in mind. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter has a famous thing that he will not judge a person. Let's say the person deserves to die. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that if he dies, then he's going to leave a wife that's an almana, he's going to leave kids that are yisaimim, and they don't deserve to be punished. So he's going to keep this person alive. Now a human judge, if the person deserves to die, he'll kill him. He can't take in mind all of the ripple effects that happen. He just has to judge based on what it is. So for human beings to be judges is really difficult. By definition, we can't really perfectly judge other people. That's the first step in being Dan Lakav Schus. Don't ever think, when I saw it, when you saw it, what you saw is nothing. You didn't. You saw a fraction of a fraction of what the big picture is, and you're already, you know, pulling out your gavel and judging against him. That's not fair. You don't know what he went through. There's a famous story with Rav Shach. Rav Shach was the Rosh Yeshiva of Panovich, and he was, but beyond that, he was the Gadol Hadar, and all he was the Rosh HaYeshivas, they used to call him. He was the head of all the other yeshivas and all the Rosh Yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael and beyond. They were machnia themselves before him. He was like the last. He was the Urim Metumim. If you ever needed to make a major decision, they would go to Rav Shach to confer first before they do it. So there was a group of Rosh Yeshiva and a Menal and a Mashkiach, and they came to, from a different yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, they came to Rav Shach, and they said to Rav Shach, you know, there was a boy in the dormitory that was smoking on Shabbos, and he was caught smoking on Shabbos, and, you know, we want to kick him out of the yeshiva, but before we do so, we wanted to just consult with Rosh Yeshiva, make sure that, you know, that that's the right decision, because it's, you know, it's dinei nefashis, and it's not so simple to throw a boy at yeshiva. We wanted to just get the green light from Rav Shach. So Rav Shach sits and thinks about it for a minute, and he says, what's the matzah with his parents at home? So what do you mean? Do his parents have shalom bayis? I don't know. We have 400 guys in yeshiva. How am I supposed to know if his parents have shalom bayis? We don't know. Okay. Do you know anything about the parents' financial matzav? Do you know how is the father making a respectable parnasa? We don't know. I mean, you know, they pay their tuition or their whatever. I don't know. We have no idea. And do you know anything about this boy's temperament? Do you know anything about his, you know, psychologically? Is he healthy? Is he stable? Is he in a good place? You know, like, they didn't really know. So Rav Shach gets up, Malay Kaimasa, he basically, you know, Rav Shach was like very old and very bent over, and he gets up to his full height, stands up, and he takes out his finger, and he points at this august group of rabbeim, Reitzchim, murderers, he accused them. He says, you have no idea about anything about their back, about this boy's background, and you're throwing him out of yeshiva, you're passing dinei nefashos without doing any research, you're just being judging him off the bat as if every bachur is just a cookie cutter, and we're all just numbers in your system, and you have no idea what, maybe something precipitated. Go back to your yeshiva, do a little research, and then come back to me. And then we'll rediscuss it. And then you'll decide whether you could throw him out of yeshiva and you know, send him, you know, kick him into the street. They went back to yeshiva, and they rolled up their sleeves, actually did as much research as human beings could do, and they taka found that a week before this maisa, that this boy was smoking in the dormitory on Shabbos, the father had lost his job, and they had no, you know, the parnasa was very, very shvach. As a result of the fact that the parnasa was very shvach, the mother wanted to leave the house. The shalom bayis was a wreck in the house. The whole house was basically imploding. This boy had so much pressure on his plate that he was cracking under the stress of having to worry about his parents, worry about his siblings, what's going to be, parnasa, shalom bayis, marriage, divorce, all these things were weighing on his head. So the way he vented, the way he, you know, he sort of was able to cope, and it's not advisable, obviously, but this is what he did. He smoked on Shabbos. That was his escape. That was his vice, to be able to deal with some of the pressures on Shabbos. They came back to Rav Shach. They told him, he says, you can't kick a boy like this out of yeshiva. You were prepared. Would that have helped the situation, or that would have, you know, made him crash further and burn further? We can never be done somebody unless we really know much more about that person. And we don't spend the time often, or maybe ever, to really know somebody well enough to judge. And so this is like a very good way of getting into this aspect of preparation for Yom HaDin. We have to change our entire mode of thinking when we see other people. When we see other people and we look at them and they're not as frum as we are, and they miss davening a lot, and their Shemoneh Esrei takes about 3 seconds, and you know, and they're speaking lashon hara, and they have a little bit of a nivel peh issue, and they're dressing a little different, they're wearing funny T-shirts in the base medrash, and right away we like have like this new look at them, and like, you know, we paskin lamavis. You can't do that. Because Havidanis kol ha'adam l'kavskos, you have to judge the entirety of man, and we can't. We're not Rabbi Nishalem. We don't have that ability to really be Baichin Klayas Velev and see that everything is good by him and he's falling short. Maybe he's not. Maybe this guy, like, you know, he really should be, you know, doing drugs in Midtown Manhattan. The fact that he's in yeshiva altogether is a chiddush. We don't know what's going on with anybody. And so we have to look at people with good eyes. We have to judge people favorably, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will judge us favorably. There's a million stories. I told you there's entire books, and not just one, there are many books that are written just on this topic, about, and most of it is just anecdotes and like really hard to believe things, like things that you would not really have any way to be down the kafschos, but yet in the truth, it wasn't as it seemed. It wasn't as it seemed. It seemed one way and it was entirely the opposite. I think the Chidush HaRim used to say that everything the Rabbeinu Shalom gives a person, there's a reason for it. You know, it's always, there's always some reason for things. So they asked him once, why does the Rabbeinu Shalom give certain people a kruma cup? A kruma cup means like a crooked brain. You know, sometimes a person has a very glatta cup and you talk to him in learning, he's like straight on and like, you know, you can, it's like a ruler, like his logic, his way of thinking is perfect. And sometimes you speak to a person, it's mamish like this, like he doesn't, like, he's speaking circular logic and it just doesn't make any sense, and you try to explain it to him, he just doesn't get it, and his entire way of thinking is like crumb, it's all crooked. Why does the Rabbeinu Shalom give people that type of brain? And maybe we all have that type of brain in a certain way, and the Chiddush HaRim said that you need a crumb, a cup, in order to be dam people a kavzchus. Without a kruma cup, you can't be down the kaf's chos. If you have a straight brain, okay, I saw two boys walking into a movie theater. So what do you want from me? I have a straight cup, and logic dictates that that obviously means that they are this type of boy. Really? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a kruma cup. Try to invert your brain, twist it to a point of non-recognition, and then you'll be able to begin the journey of down the kaf's chos, because you need to have a kruma cup, so it doesn't make sense logically. Rav Schwab was, when he was just starting out as a rav in Washington Heights, he was walking in Manhattan, he looks into like a McDonald's, and he couldn't believe his eyes. He took a double take, he saw that one of his chashava balabatim was eating like a Big Mac in McDonald's, right in Midtown, right by the front window of the store, he almost died. Rav Schwab didn't know what to do. Like, should he go in and give him mussar and tell him it's not kosher or whatever? He didn't, like, what do you do? And he just didn't do anything, but it really bothered him. And every time he saw the guy, he, like, you know, a big question mark over his head, like, why is he eating a cheeseburger? Anyway, one day, this guy was rushed to the hospital. Rav Schwab was the rav. He had to visit this guy in the hospital. He goes in and he says, what happened? He says, the rav doesn't know. I have a very, very, very severe ulcer. Crazy ulcer. It's a fatal ulcer, and if it starts, like, you know, activating, I'm dead. I'm literally, it's mamish b'gof nefesh. He says, I have to eat something very often in order just to live. Otherwise, he says, Rabbi, there are times that I've been walking in Manhattan, I feel my ulcer about to, I run into a McDonald's just to be able to save my life. It's b'gof nefesh. And Rav Schwab says, oh my gosh, like, he's saying to himself, like, you know, imagine a more, you have to have a real kruma cup to pass McDonald's, see a guy eating there and say, oh, he probably has an ulcer. You're an idiot if you think that. But sometimes you got to be an idiot because, and my chiddush is that being down the kav's chus does not make you naive. It doesn't make you a fool. It's actually the truth. Because very, very often, and kimat always, you would be right to assume the better. You would be right to assume the better, because people are inherently good. People are not bums, people are not bad, people are not evil. Yidden are good people. So if your eyes happen to see something that seems to be, you know, wrong, there's a reason behind it. You just don't know the reason. But guaranteed, 99 out of 100 times, if you actually do a little research and you ask the guy, why were you in McDonald's? I have an ulcer. There's a reason. If you don't ask and you don't do research and you just, like, judge, then he's always guilty. But most of the time, you know, that's why these stories about being down, because it's not even a chiddush to me. Because a yid is a yid. A yid is a good person. If a yid, you know, if you see something that's wrong and it seems like very obvious that it's wrong, it's not obvious. There's a reason that you don't know. There's so many layers to a Jew. Maybe superficially, it seemed like he did something wrong, but there was a reason or there is background that you don't know that precipitated it, but in the big scheme of things, he's okay. And so this is something that is a major zchus, if we could understand these things and really try to, you know, look at people with good eyes. Make sure that when we see people, we put aside that judgmental side to us that we all have, and we all like judge and make snap decisions, and good guy, bad guy, from guy, bummy guy, you know, right wing, left wing, Mizrahi, you know, good though, whatever. All these labels that we give people, they're so misleading. There could be like a guy with, you know, with payas and a strimal and whatever, and he could be a bank robber. There could be a guy that doesn't wear a yarmulke, you know, and he wears tight jeans or whatever, and he's the tzaddik adar. You don't know. You know anything about anybody? You don't know anything. And so if we hope that the Rabbeinu Shem will be dan us l'kav zchus, which is what our, that's what we're here for, then we have to start being dan other people l'kav zchus. And mitzvah Hashem in that zchus, Mida Kenega Mida, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, I have to see this person in the best light possible. And as we're passing before him on Rosh Hashanah Bedin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, will not say, ah, he did this wrong, he did that wrong. He says, I see just beauty. I see the person as being, he's trying his best under the circumstances. Things are difficult for him, and I'm going to give him a passing grade because I know that he is trying to judge other people favorably as well. Sure.